Good morning. My name is Steve Tomlinson. I'm the senior pastor of Shelton Rock Church, and we have the privilege today of having all the kids in the service with us, which means that we will have a very alive service and lots of action going on. And kids, this is my goal. I'm going to try to preach and speak in a way that's not like real boring, okay? But for those of you who are feeling like a little bored, the ushers do have handouts for you. And even grown-ups, if you need to doodle or something, they can give you the box of crayons too. You know, we want the kids to be able to handle everything that's going on today. You know, on this special Mother's Day, we are always conscious about what is going on ultimately in the world. And this was a sad piece of news I received today, that today in Indonesia, a whole bunch of churches were simultaneously bombed. When you hear this kind of thing, it breaks your heart. But you know what? We share our faith with believers all over the world. So as we open this message, could we pray for those brothers and sisters there for God's mercy? Father, we know how much you love people. And Father, we know how precious your church is. And so, Lord, we pray for the Indonesian Christians right now, fearing and anxiety, caring for their wounded, grieving their dead. And we pray, Father, that you would just surround your church with your presence, your healing. And I pray, Father, they would exemplify your love to the greater community. Despite how crazy that seems, may they be examples of what you would do in your love for us. So we uphold those brothers and sisters, and we pray that you would bless our time here this morning in Shelter Rock Church. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, let me ask you a question. Kids can answer this too. How much do you love your mom? Do you love her a lot? I mean, is mom kind of an important person to love in your life? Yeah, I would say. I see two thumbs up there. Yeah. You awesome mom. I know. She's sitting right there. That is cool. But do you love your mom this much? Tony, put that picture up there, you know, to where you're going to put it as a tattoo. You know, if I came home with a tattoo, my mother would not be too pleased, I can tell you that. But she might give me a pass if that was the tattoo. Because if it's about how wonderful mom is, I think that'd be cool. And when I was Googling this, I looked for the masculine arm. You know, the guy who might be in the Marine Corps or something. And then he has this, I love mom. Because that is one of, truly, one of the most masculine things I can imagine, is to have a deep and abiding love and appreciation for your mom. So what we want to do today in a message we're calling the Divine Feminine is to look at what the Bible says are the attributes that reflect God that are feminine in nature. Because we're quite used to hearing the masculine attributes of God. Let me give you an example. Here's a very, very famous one. That is this: God is our Father. I bet we could all recite this from memory. Matthew 6, 9. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We've heard this all our lives. God is our Father. It's a good image. It's a wonderful image, particularly if you had a healthy father that helps us understand a little bit of what God is like. How about this one? God is King. God is King. There's this all over the Bible, but I like where Paul says it in 1 Timothy. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Now, I know some of you are into like Xena the warrior princess, but let's face it, warrior is generally a masculine kind of flavor. And it says in Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you. The mighty warrior saves you. Great masculine images of God. But as we go through our Bible, we see a lot of personal pronouns that also convey the maleness of God. How about a very famous psalm, Psalm 23? It reads this way: the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along right paths for his name's sake. And we could go on about the masculine, the manly descriptions of God. But what I want to do is start at the very beginning. The very first time that God said, let me tell you what I am like. It actually goes to the very beginning of our Bibles. Genesis chapter 1, where God says this, referring to himself. We read, so God created mankind in his own image. Well, that helps me, because now I know, what is God like? He looks a little like us. And we read this: in the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So in other words, if you want to know what God is like, you can't just use the masculine aspects of divinity. You need to consider the feminine aspects of divinity. And what we're going to do today on this Mother's Day, in this series we're calling Beautiful, focusing all month on all the blessings that women bring the community of faith, today we're going to look at the scriptures that point out God's feminine aspects. And so here's what I want to do, just look at a few key passages. So what are some examples of the divine feminine? Here's the first one I draw your attention to, Deuteronomy 32. Now, I'm going to use the King James right now because it captures the feminine description in the Hebrew. It reads this way: as the eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. And then it goes on. But to use a modern translation, tend to look at these action words in this text, here's the New International Version. It says this: like the eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, that spreads its wings and catches them and carries them aloft. Now, those action words are feminine aspects that God says, I am just like that. And to give it a description in a different way, let's look at those action words. Here they are: stir up, hovers over, spreads her wings, carries them aloft. Let's see if you've experienced any of these things in your own life. How about this one? Stirs up. Maybe you've had it this morning. Get out of bed! Moms are often stirring us up. Right around 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning, getting ready to school. Get down here for breakfast! You know, moms regularly stir up. But I like the one I put here. Did you do your homework? Put the phone down. Walk over there, get the books, and start opening them. Do your homework. Moms, stir it up. Or this one. When I say hover over, I think of my own wife when our kids are very little, because they're playing in the sand, and inevitably, one of the kids, maybe some of you kids have done this yourself, you take some sand, and you put it in your mouth, because you think, can you eat this stuff? And my wife would very gently say, we don't eat sand. But how does she know they're even attempting to eat sand? She's kind of hovering. And it's a funny thing. We grown-ups, and kids keep this in mind, we will never stop hovering until we go to see Jesus. And that comes down to this. I was watching a TV show called Last Man Standing with Tim Allen. And he says, there I'll be, 85 years old, and my last breath I'll be thinking, did my daughter change the oil in her car? Because we're interested in caring for those who the Lord has given us. And moms exemplify that. So we kind of hover over, even when they're 24 years old. It's like, when are they getting home? You know, we're thinking of this. Or spreads her wings. How many times has your mom comforted you, strengthened you, and inspired you? That idea of spreading her wings over you, God is like that. And this last one, carries them aloft. This idea of a person who says, I believe in you. You can do this. You can make this happen. As I was pondering this passage this week, because my style of preparing for a sermon is I look at the scriptures and then process them all week long, I was remembering a time when I was in high school. I'm a senior in high school. I'm 18 years old, and I'm thinking I want to go to college. But I also knew that I was a very lazy high school student. My grades were not that great. And so I grew up in Huntington, went to Walt Whitman High School, and I'm thinking, no good school is going to accept me. So I applied to Suffolk Community College. Fine school, but I felt they'll take me. My mom says to me, by the way, what are you thinking about for college? Well, I applied for Suffolk Community College. Why not Stony Brook? Oh, they'll never take me. Will you do me the favor? Will you apply to Stony Brook? Oh, Mom, they'll never take me. Will you do me the favor, Steve? Apply to Stony Brook. Well, you know it's another application fee. If you're willing to pay it, I'll apply. So, you know, I give that little snide response. Well, within 2 weeks, Stony Brook accepted me, and it took Suffolk Community another 2 months to get that letter. And when I got it, it went right into the can. I'm like, I'm going to Stony Brook. You know, I thank a mom who pushed me. And when we've had moms that have encouraged us and carried us on wings aloft, we say thank you. And here's what God says. I'm like that mom, that eagle. I stir you up, I hover over, I spread wings over you, and I carry you aloft. Now you may think, how does God like stir us up? Now as a kid, I understand how mom stirs me up. Get out of bed! But how does God do it? I'll give you an example of my own life. So the year is 1991, and I am happily employed for a company called Amtrak, the nation's railroad. And as I am working for this railroad, I had this dream of one day being a pastor. I did. I had a problem, though. I had a house, a mortgage, cars with car payments, and little kids. No money, no time. It just didn't seem feasible. And then one day, because of what I'm sensing and symptoms, I end up in the cardiac care unit of a hospital, diagnosed with a disease called myocarditis, which is a very serious ailment relating to the myocardia of the heart. And within 5 days, I go from the doctor saying, you may need a heart transplant, to the doctor saying, you can go home, you're totally well. And then my old pastor from New York calling me up and saying, Steve, as I recall, when you were in high school, you said you wanted to be a pastor. Is the Lord stirring you up to remind you of what you're called to be? And I thought, maybe. And then 2 months later, somebody close to my family comes to me and says, the Lord just placed in my heart that if you go to seminary, I'm supposed to pay. Do you want to go to seminary? I said, yeah. See, the Lord stirs it up. He's like a mom. He'll do that. And God wants you to know. If you want to know what I'm like, take a look at some of the best qualities of your mom. Here's the next scripture that I want to take note of. It's Isaiah 66. We read this, for this is what the Lord says, I will extend peace to her like a river, and wealth of nations like a flooding stream. You will nurse and be carried on her arm and dandled on her knees. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. Now, beautiful passage, in which there's actually two metaphors going on. God of the place of Jerusalem, and then ultimately God takes the role of the mother in terms of the comforting. But as I pondered this passage, I had to get out my dictionary. Because unlike my wife who knows like every word in the English language, I don't know what the word dandled means. So it says that God's going to dandle me. I'm like, what is that? So I look it up, and you know what it is? It's when you bounce your kid on your knee. So in other words, what is God like? Now, just picture your kid, you know, some of you kids here, what happens when you hurt yourself? You fall down, you get a cut, and you're like, you're upset, you're angry, you know, what are you going to do? But then mom comes and picks you up and throws, who loves you? Who loves you? Who loves you? And before you know it, what's happening with the kid? The kid's happy. God says, I will dandle you. That's a cool kind of attribute from God that we don't normally think of. That is a feminine aspect that God says, that is what I am like. But there comes the more serious element, this idea of comfort from God. What the Deuteronomy passage of God spreading his wings. So this week, my wife and I are looking to see what we can watch on TV. And so I'm scanning through Netflix. You know, there's like a million things to watch. So you're going with the remote, all these things. And then I saw that there is this Kevin James stand-up comedy act. Now, I never really saw any of the TV shows that Kevin James is in, but I know he's a comedian. And it looked like this was going to be a clean, comical presentation at the Beacon Theater in New York City. So I said, let's watch this. So we watched, and it was a clean comic act. It was enjoyable. But Kevin James tells a story about having four kids. And one kid in particular, he says, he just relates better to mom. So at one particular day, the kid gets up, wants to be comforted, maybe had a nightmare or something like that, and comes up, and it was daddy's turn. So, you know, daddy comes, oh, what can I do for you? Here's what his daughter said. I want my mom. Doesn't even say, I want mom. I want my mom, personal possessive here. And you can go downstairs. He's like, who am I? I'm chopped liver, but let's be honest. Kids, when you have a nightmare or something scary happens and you kind of have a choice as to which side of the bed are you going to go to, you know, or who you're going to seek comfort from, we tend to gravitate to the mom. Why? Because of the comfort that our moms bring to us. And you want to know what God is like? He's like that. And I know some of our moms haven't been the best in all of these areas. But always aim higher, because when you see your mom doing it right, it smells and looks a lot like God. Because God wants you to know that He created us in two images, male and female. And every time you see your mom or a woman precious to you in your life getting it right, it smells like God. He wants to dandle you, bring you from tears to joy, and He wants to comfort you in that time that you need it most. Which brings me now to this next passage. It's from Hosea, in which we read this. Like a bear robbed of her cubs, I will attack them and rip them open. Now, I know what you're thinking, that this passage is about the mother bear who protects her cubs. And you would think that because you didn't read the passage. But you know what this passage is really about? I'll tell you. I brought you into this world. I'll take you out. That's what this passage is about. God is expressing that when we choose the wrong path to go, He is like a mother bear who comes into your life and says, this is wrong. This is not the way you want to go. This is the way you want to go. God is like that mother bear. So this morning I'm reading the Wall Street Journal, and there was a wonderful editorial relating to Mother's Day, and a man is writing, and he's reminding us of St. Augustine. Now, many of you have heard St. Augustine. He was the bishop of Hippo in Carthage, and he lived around 300 AD, so around 1,700 years ago. And we know him as St. Augustine. Wonderful. But do you know a woman who is now called St. Monica, but Augustine called Mom? You know what she wrote? She said this, I had a veil of tears for my son. Because when he was a teenager, when he was in his 20s, he chose all the things that cause every parent to have anxiety, fear. What is my son doing? Why is he doing this? And she cried and prayed for her son. But one day the Lord answered the prayers of that woman. And Augustine, you know, we call him Saint Augustine, transformed the Christian world. But you know, God is a lot like Monica, who kept praying and kept pursuing. And so as this author was going on to describe his mom, he told a story. Let me show you about a mom. You see, when you think of that bear that's protecting her cubs, you can do that very creatively, by the way. It doesn't mean you have to raise your voice. It doesn't mean you have to do extreme things. So this man, now an older man himself, he says, when I was in sixth grade, one of my guy friends gave me a centerfold from a magazine. Now, some of you old enough know what that is implying in that. And he's thinking, this is kind of cool. I'm, you know, he's sixth grade, and it's like, wow. So he's going home with this centerfold wrapped up in his school book. And he arrives near the house, and he's thinking, okay, I've never brought anything like this into the house. What would Mom say? So he decides, I'm just going to be straightforward. So his mom said, how was school today? And he describes it, and then he says, yeah, and a friend who owed me something gave me something. It's a picture, and I'm going to put it on the wall in my room. Now, I want you to think all the alternatives that a mom might choose at this point. which might include, I brought you into this world, I'll take you out, you know, all the kinds of things. But his mom did something very interesting. She said to her son, can I ask you a couple questions? Yeah, of course, mom. Is it okay to steal? No, it's not okay. You taught us that we should never steal. Thank you. Thank you. Now, I have another question for you. If somebody is displaying something stolen, would that be okay? And he says, no, it's still a stolen thing. It shouldn't be displayed. And he says, what if you displayed and caused robbing somebody of their dignity, meaning the person on the picture? And he said, at that moment, my mom helped me see that this was inappropriate, that I was flaunting something stolen, and I should not do it. And then he related this back to Monica, praying in tears over her son, Augustine, and how God brought about good things. I loved that story, because that is the mother bear. But she's responding in a way appropriate to the child in her care. God is like that mom. And so you kids, if mom is concerned about what choices you're making and if you're being a good boy or a good girl, thank God for mom. And also, that's a lot like God. He's that way. Which brings me to the last scripture I draw to your attention. It is this one from Isaiah 49. I love this passage. Can a mother forget a baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Now, when God's trying to raise the bar and saying, for those of you who are afraid that I, the Lord, will forget you, he raises the highest thing that we can understand, the love of a mother for her child. There's nothing our society knows any higher than that. And he says, that's the way I love you. But he also knows the way we think. Because we think of those exceptional moms that blew it. And we say, yeah, you know, God loves like that. You know, there are moms who forgot their child. And he knows the way we think that way. And so he says, okay, even if she forgets, you know what I'm like? I am femininity to the max. Because I will never forget. I wrote your name on the palm of my hand. Now, that's a very personal aspect right there. Like, if you're cheating on a quiz, where do you write the answers? On the palm. Why? If you write it on the outside of your hand, teacher can see. But something very personal to you, you write on the inside of your palm. And I found this picture, and I love that, Tony, if you could pop it up there. It is the names of people that are on the Lord's hands. And right in the center, do you see those three beautiful little letters? You. Put your name right there. That is where God has your name written. And how does he describe this? In the feminine sense, that a mother will never forget her child. But even if she did, I am not like that. I will have your name written on my palm. So this week, I'm going through my process of meditating on these scriptures, reflecting on them. And as I was thinking about the Lord writing my name on his palm, you know what scripture came to my mind? It's when Jesus was nailed to the cross. Tony, if you could put that picture on. And I thought to myself, that is the mark on the Lord's hands of never forgetting who we are and what he did for us. That is the image that God wants us to know. That our thoughts to him are never far away. They're always precious to him. And all he has to do is look at his hands and remember what these scars are for. Now, in a room like this, some of us had awesome mothers, some of us not so awesome. Some of us are awesome mothers, others of us not so awesome. But I can tell you this, that when you are at your best, and when your mom was at her best, that's what God is like. And he wants you to know that. We have that great comfort. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, thank you for the great, great privilege of discovering that the feminine aspects of this world that are at their best are exactly what you are like. And Father, as we wrestle with how we act, what we do, often we can look as close as our moms to get a feel for what we should do, what should we decide. And we thank you for that. Lord, as we together press on to continue to learn to love one another, to value each other, Lord, I pray that you would help us to see the masculine and the feminine together is the perfect picture of the divine. And if anyone in this room has never entered into a living relationship with this masterful God who gave us the perfect picture of what divinity is like, help us to look to our good moms. Help us to look to our good dads. And in the end, discover a God who loves us so much that he gave his only son to die for us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.